your hand and be my free ticket, my bright future, my conscience, love. My life is in your hands.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the presentation of MAPFRE's result for the first quarter of 2017. It's a pleasure to have here with us Mr. Mata, MAPFRE's CFO and member of the board. He will go through the key highlights of the quarter and will give you an overview of these exceptional main figures and business trends during this quarter. Today, we also have the honor to have here with us Mr. José Manuel Intxausti, CEO of the Iberia unit. He will give us some details of his business and also participate in the Q&A session afterwards if you need further information. In order to improve our financial disclosure and respond to the feedback we have received over the last few months, this quarter we have introduced a series of improvements to increase data quality and transparency. We hope this more detailed analysis helps you gain better insight into our businesses. If you have any difficulties finding any information, the Investor Relations team is available to help with whatever you need. Along with this document, the result presentation, an MD&A report and an Excel spreadsheet have been made available for all of you in our webpage. According to this new structure, in-depth information on our businesses has been provided with the presentation only showing the key highlights. As usual, at the end of the presentation, as time permits, we will answer all the questions that were sent to the specified email address. The Investor Relations team will contact you later on to answer pending questions, if any. Fernando, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Natalia, and good afternoon, everyone. And good afternoon, José Manuel Intxausti. It's a pleasure for us to have you here. And regarding the new set of information, we hope it will be extremely helpful for you. This is a new set of documents, and this is well framed in the new increase of transparency, the transparency plan implemented by the chairman, and also to increase our communication with stakeholders. Let me take you through the highlights for the first quarter. During this period, we have seen an increase of over 9% in premiums due to an impressive 34% rise in the life business and nearly 4% growth in non-life premiums. Revenue shows a similar trend with 9% growth. We saw positive developments in the majority of the regions and business units, with a standing performance at MAPFRE three largest direct operations, as well as MAPFRE Re. I would like to point out the excellent performance of the life business in Spain, thanks to the successful launch of new products and sales promotions, especially in Red MAPFRE, our agent channel. We have also seen a pickup in production in non-life, which is noteworthy when considering the ongoing process of cancelling non-profitable portfolios. Currency conversion have also had a positive impact on top-line figures, thanks to the appreciation of the US dollars and the Brazilian real. Finally, there was a slight fall in financial income, but it's still proving quite resilient given the low interest rate environment in Europe. Let's move to the next page. Regarding the combined ratio, it stood at 97.5% at the close of the first quarter. The expense ratio improved by 70 basis points to 26.7% thanks to strict cost containment policies. And the claims ratio stood at 70.8% at the close of March. This reflects improvements in the loss ratio that have been taking place in several markets, including first, motor lines in Spain and Turkey, second, general P&C lines in Brazil, and finally, homeowner insurance in the United States. On the other hand, adverse weather conditions in southern Spain, heavy rain and winds, and in Peru, the coastal Niño phenomenon, also impacted our operations. We estimate both events caused a 1.2 PP loss ratio increase. Less relevant, but there were also several large industrial claims at the MAFRE Global Risks. The net result, down the page, grew by 7.5%, reaching €206 million, with an ROE of slightly over 9%. This reflects a higher profit in the life business in Brazil and Spain, in part affected by the reversal of some provisions in the bank insurance business. Finally, non-life results continue to be quite solid in key regions. Please turn to slide 6. Looking at shareholders' equity, we can see that it has been quite stable in the period on the back of lower market volatility and currency movements, with a slight decrease of €74 million, mainly due to the deduction of the final dividend to be paid this June and approved at the recent AGM. Assets under management have grown by almost 3% year-to-date, supported by, first, the line business acquired by Bankinter Vida in Portugal. Second, a positive evolution of the mutual and pension fund businesses with over 6% growth, framing in MAFRE's strategy to grow in AM, asset management. Third, the rally in equity markets during the period. And finally, the appreciation of the Brazilian real, 2.5% more or less. Let's turn to slide number 7. I would like to point out MAFRE's dividend policy, very well known by you, which is focused on creating shareholder value, with net results as the main driver for growing dividends. As you already know, a final dividend of 8.5 cents was approved at the AGM, taking the total dividend proposed against 2016 results to 14.5 cents per share. Finally, the final dividend will be paid on June the 20th. Let's turn to next page. On this slide, we can see the overall distribution of our business by regional area. Just as a reminder, regional areas include business from insurance units, as well as the business from MAFRE Global Risks and MAFRE Asistencia, corresponding to each region. The assistant business comes mainly from EMEA and North America, while Latin and Iberia are the most significant regions for global risk. As you can see, MAFRE continues benefiting from a very well-diversified business profile and with a good balance between mature and emerging countries. The following slide will take a closer look at the results by business units and also by region. As you can see in the chart of the left, the insurance units represent over 70% of the MAFRE's business. Another 16% approximately comes from MAFRE RE, and the remainder is split between global risk and assistance. Focusing on our territorial areas and business units, I would like to point out the following. First, Iberia accounts for over 32% of the total premiums as a result of the continued pickup in production in main lines of businesses. Second, Latam accounts for 27% of total premiums, which have grown by over 18% thanks to the resilient local currency growth in Brazil and also the appreciation of the real. International, with around 70% of premiums, is growing thanks to a positive development in Massachusetts, our core market in the United States, and also with an additional push from the appreciation of the dollar. Next, MAPFRE RE represents around 16% of the total premiums and continues growing at nearly 7%. Performance of the non-group business remains quite stable. And finally, Global Risks is also growing at steady rates, and MAPFRE Asistencia has seen a fall in premiums due to, you know very well as well, the current restructuring process that we carry out in this unit. Let's turn to the next slide to look at the main movements in attributable results. It is worth pointing out the notable improvement in profit in Iberia, where the positive developments in motor, together with the reversal of provision for contingent payments in the bancassurance channel, both contributed to offset the bad weather conditions in south of Spain during the quarter, mainly January and February. In international, the improvement in the net result is due to the outstanding performance in Turkey. Business are doing very well there, and to a lesser extent, an improvement in the United States. Third, Global Risks experienced a fall in profit during the year as a result of several large industrial claims, and it's a concentration of claims. There was a oil refinery in Abu Dhabi and also other significant losses in EMEA. MAPFRE Asistencia continues with the business restructuring, and losses are mainly coming from operations in the UK. Please now turn to slide 11, when José María Inchausti, CEO of Iberia, will present the information for the business units he runs.
Thank you, Fernando, and good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here today with you. Going to my first slide, we are in page 11. Have to say that MAPFRE Iberia result in the first quarter has grown by 27%. This extraordinary growth reflects an important improvement, primarily as a result of the cancellation of a reserve for contingent payments in the bank insurance channel, totaling 27 million euros after taxes. We have had an increase in loss ratio for going for weather-related events in the property lines that were compensated by the positive development of the combined ratio in other lines, especially motor. The company, MAPFRE Iberia, MAPFRE Spain, is implementing a transformation process based in a number of initiatives. I would like to highlight a better customer value proposition focused on what we call the platinum customer, including free phone line for this type of customers, personalized services, and a preferred renewal conditions. We are in the process of implementation a new broker segmentation with their correspondent value proposition. We have split our brokers depending on criteria regarding size, relationship with MAPFRE, and of course profitability. We are in the starting a very deep digitalization of our claim processes. We have called eClaim this a number of projects within these big objectives, modification on the reimbursement processes for medical and pharmaceutical services, enable online appointments in the customer area in MAPFRE clinics and also in our APP, implementation of claims monitoring, etc. We are launching new mobilized solutions for pricing, policy writing, especially in motor, homeowners, and health, and we are having success in these developments. Regarding the going to the next slide and the and sorry, going to the next part of the life insurance premiums, we have to say that we have a good growth of about 46%. MAPFRE growth in Spain is about 8 points above the average market growth, with a special emphasis on growth in savings, both in MAPFRE network that has climbed to 52% and also in Portugal, in which we are collecting a very good results. As I have said, weather-related events going to the combined ratio analyzed, weather-related events on the first quarter have had a very important impact, significant impact on the combined ratio. We have about 60,000 claims out of the business as usual, with a total cost of 16 million euros, which implies 4 points in the general insurance business combined ratio. In the next slide, you will find page number 12. You will find a more in-depth analysis on the Spanish motor business. Our premium growth in retail, speaking about retail, grew by 1.7%, and this is impacted by the cancellation of a basic product that is no longer being sold as a result of its high loss ratio. MAPFRE growth is based on profitability, as you can see by the average premium growth, which is from 2015 constantly up than the market average. Continue with this strategy for profitable growth. MAPFRE Spain has implemented a series of measures to control and to reduce claims and expenses. All of these measures all together has going to a drop in 2 points our combined ratio, which is 2 points below the market. At the close of the first quarter of 2017, we have this combined motor insurance combined ratio improved by 2.7 points compared to March 2016. So now we have the combined ratio in a 91.5%, which is a very good number for us. We have reduced cost in property damage about 6.5%, and we are still reviewing our non-profitable business, mainly fleets, professional third-party liability, and group accident in a project that we call internally Project 8020. We are working on that since 2015. We are in a process, as I have said, of digitalization of some of our main claim processes, and this is giving us an improvement on the cost ratio associated with this processes. Finally, as I have said, we have a better and improving 2.1 points below the market. Regarding my last slide, we are in page 13 now. Talking a little bit about Baremo implementation, we have to update our prices in 2015. And also we adapt, constitute a sufficient reserve, a solid reserve for the new criteria, about in an order of 35 million euros. A little over a year has passed since the new Baremo came into force, and we have some conclusions. We think that the majority of the cost increases happened in 2016. We register about 12.5%, so we think that in 2017 it can still continue to rise, but in a lesser extent. In the first quarter we measured about 1.6%. We carried out a rate increases in previous years, and I think we have increased our rates during 2015 and 2016 enough. And we believe that the baremos should not impact rate increases anymore or not in a significant way. There are no changes in our reserve. We make revision of that reserve on a quarterly basis, and we don't think that we should need any further development on that reserves. And the reserves established for IBNR and for worst-case claims were calculated and updated with the latest information available, and always with the criteria of prudence required by MAFRE. Thank you. That is all the information regarding Iberia, and I give in the floor back to Fernando Mata. Thank you very much.
Thanks, José Manuel. Very interesting. On page 15, I would like to take a closer look at the main drivers of the net result, the changes compared to the previous year, and also non-recurring items or extraordinary items. The chart on the top of shows a variation for the net result for both periods, 192 and 206 net result for each period. First, I will explain the change in non-life. It was a 4 million euro increase in the underlying non-life technical results, thanks to improvements in technical management and the already mentioned cost containment initiatives. Second column, the 5 million euro reduction in the financial results is in line with the low interest rate environment in Europe. And finally, for non-life, there was a 27 million decrease, mainly due to the coastal Niño phenomenon. There is a full disclosure of other extraordinary events at the bottom of the page. I would like to point out a typo at the bottom of the page, Life Extraordinary Impacts 2016. There is a typo, the correct year is 2017. Second, let's move to life. Life business profit increased by 55 million due to improvements across the board, Iberia and Brazil being the most relevant. Additionally, there was a reversal of provisions in the bank assurance channel in Spain, totaling 29 million euros. Third, taxes have decreased as a result of a different business mix. Spain is the largest contributor and also the country with one of the lowest tax rate, and a reduction of taxes paid in Brazil. In that case, is due to the agricultural business, which has tax reliefs. And lastly, the increase in non-controlling interest is due to the increase in life profit in Brazil, largely driven by the currency appreciation and Spain. On the next page, we'll see the information about non-life premiums. Non-life premiums have grown by 3.8%, again driven by growth in our main markets. In Brazil, we've seen solid local currency growth, especially in industrial risks and agribusiness lines, as well as the impact of the appreciation of the Brazilian real. Second, the health line in Spain is performing well, very well, and keeping the same trend from last years. And third, in the United States, we've seen growth in motor premiums in Massachusetts, mainly supported by tariff rises. And global risk is mainly growing in Iberia, Brazil, and Latam North. And finally, MAPFRE RE also continues growing at a healthy rate as a result of the positive evolution of the non-group business. Please turn to the next slide, on page 17. We'll take a look at the combined ratio. Strict cost containment strategies continue showing results, especially in Iberia, Latin North, and EMEA. There was a positive claims experience in our main markets during the quarter. First, in Spanish motor, we are seeing lower frequency and a positive evolution of Vertis business. Agricultural and multi-peril lines in Brazil have been positively impacted by mild weather. Third, homeowner insurance in the United States, mainly in Massachusetts,
also affecting Mapfre Re because of the quota share reinsurance treaty. Tariff increases and underwriting improvements introduced in 2016 in motor in Turkey. And finally, Mapfre Re, which is benefiting from a reduction in his expense ratio, in that case due to a lower sliding commission that offset some increases in the loss ratio. As I already explained, the increase in the claims ratio is due to adverse weather conditions in southern Spain and the effects of the coastal Niño in Peru. Second, several large industrial claims at Mapfre Global Risks, and last, higher claims in motor in Brazil and Mexico. Is the same trend that we already discussed in last year. On page 18, as you can see on the chart, the financial result on non-life fell by around 23 million euros compared to March of the previous year. And this fall reflects the following. First, low interest rate environment. Second, we also seen a fall in financial income in Brazil due to lower interest rate and inflation, which was partially mitigated by the appreciation of the real. Third, there were also lower foreign exchange differences. It was minus 10 million compared to the previous year, which were positive in 2016 and slightly negative in 2017. And finally, higher realized gains, and it was taken. We took advantage of the rally in equities in the first quarter of the year, mainly in Spain. Gains reached around 31 million euros compared to 21 million euros the previous year. The largest increases, as I mentioned, took place in Mapfre Re and Iberia. Slide 19 shows the premiums and result of the life business. In Iberia, premiums grew by almost 46% thanks to successful launch of new savings products and sales campaigns in Iberia, especially unit-linked products. Yeah. Once again, Red Mapfre proves to be a very valuable distribution channel for Mapfre. We are also seeing resilient local currency growth in Brazil, nearly 1%, despite the complicated economic context that live in the country. And also we have seen some improvements in margins in the risk products sold through the bancassurance channel, as well as the positive impact from the appreciation of the Brazilian real. It's important to mention as well the bancassurance channel in Malta that continues performing well. And Mapfre Re continues showing strong growth as well and profitability, in part due to higher realized gains. We are also seeing higher realized gains in Iberia, as well as the already commented 29 million impact from bancassurance contingent payments. Turn to next slide, please. This slide shows the evolution of our capital base. On the left, you can see the shareholders' equity amounted to over 9 billion euros at the end of 2016. And market volatility affected our financial assets was offset by shadow accounting, and currency movements were reduced as well. In summary, the reduction is due to the dividend distribution approved by the AGM to be paid in June, since revaluation and realized gains are practically fully offset, net of shadow accounting, as fully offset by currency conversion differences. On page 21, we will take a look at the investment portfolio. In the first quarter of the year, the investment strategy has continued to be marked by a low interest rate environment in mainly in Europe, despite the fact that the increase of political risk in some countries caused pickups in interest rates for peripheral debt, mainly Spanish debt, affected the Mapfre. In this context, a greater economic growth and improved expectations for company profits. Investment in fixed income has been reduced, quite limited, little by little, and positions have been taken in equities and, to a lesser extent, alternative assets, mainly SOCIMIS, and direct positions in real estate. Therefore, exposure to national and corporate debt in the investment portfolio has gone from 57.2% and 20.2% to 8% and 19.2% of the portfolio, respectively. Now turn to page 22, please. Here we'll take a moment to analyze our capital structure and debt position. On the left side, you can see the composition of the capital structure as of March 2017, amounts to over 14 billion euros, and the largest of which is equity with 80% of the total, 20 is our leverage. On the right side, you can see that our leverage is low compared to peers, at 20, as I mentioned, increased during the quarter due to the issuance of the 600 million euros subordinated debt in March, with a fixed interest rate set at 4.375% for the first 10 years and a call option at 10 years. Finally, interest coverage also compares favorable to peers, 23 times earnings before interest and tax. On the next few slides, we'll take a closer look at our Solvency II information, which is referred to December 31st, 2016. On page 23, Solvency II figures confirm MAPFRE's strong solvency position. The 210% Solvency II ratio is based on a high-quality capital structure of more than 9.6 billion euros in eligible own funds, of which 94% is unrestricted Tier 1 capital, the remaining 6% is subordinated debt. As you can see, our solvency margin has been quite stable throughout the year, despite certain market volatility. Please turn to the next slide. Here we can take a look at capital generated under Solvency II during 2016. The MAPFRE Group had a solvency margin of 4.2 billion euros at the end of 2015, which increased by over 800 million euros to 5 billion euros at the end of 2016. Main drivers of these improvements were as follows. First, a 578 million euros increase in IFRS equity, excluding retained earnings. It means that these movements are mainly due to the growth in unrealized gains of the available for sale portfolio, as well as positive currency conversion differences. So let's say that those are non-organic growth, and they're mainly caused by market conditions. Second, 457 million euro increase in IFRS retained earnings. That's organic growth. And finally, a change in the solvency capital requirement, mainly in market risks, driven by larger exposures to equities and an increase in value of other assets. In conclusion, we're pretty happy. Changes driven by the standard formula were not relevant and mainly organic. In the three following pages, you have more detailed information regarding Solvency II, which show limited changes in trends and also sensitivity analysis, and but very, very few changes compared to previous years. That's all from me, and thank you for your attention. And now, Natalia, we'll begin with, there is nothing to say, with the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fernando, and thank you, José Manuel. Thank you, everyone, for your attention, too. We will now move to the Q&A session. Fernando Mata, José Manuel Inchausti, and myself will be answering the questions you already sent. And just as a reminder, if there are any questions we don't have time to answer, the investor relations team will get back to you as soon as possible. So we can start with the Q&A session.
With regards to Iberia's operations. These questions are from Nicola de la Palma from Exane BNP, Andrew Sinclair from Bank of America Merrill Lynch, Pat Ojeda from JB, and Ivan Bokmat from Barclays. How you explain the degree of improvement in the combined ratio for Spanish motor? You explain Baremo has increased average claims by 12% in 2006 and 2% so far this year, but we can't see any of the impacts in your numbers.
Thank you very much. It is true that finally, over the increase in the Baremo, we didn't took it to an effect in our combined ratio, and this is because we have worked on other aspect of our combined ratio in motor insurance, especially in the profitable growth strategy. We were working on the 80-20 project. In fact, our fleet businesses, we took about 20 points down in our combined ratio going from the fleet businesses. We improve cost in claims with property damage, and finally we are working on digitalization of our processes, and that makes our internal expense ratio comes down.
The next question is about the top line Spanish motor. How much fleet business do you still have in the books? How worried are you about your loss of market share that continues in the retail motor business?
We maintain nowadays less than 10% of our book in the fleet businesses. Our objective is to maintain only the profitable fleet businesses. In fact, we are trying to bring in new fleets, but with a smaller size, typically less than 100 cars per fleet. Unfortunately, market data do not separate growth in fleet, but we estimate, our best estimation is that the difference that we have with the market growth in the retail business is 1 point or less. We will start a series of measures aimed at customer with high return and a low conversion ratio starting in the 1st of May. We have completely designed all of these measures, and we will come to enforce immediately. So we think we will take a good results from that measures.
The next question is about Spain. The expense ratio improved visibly. Was this something exceptional, or do you expect to maintain this rate of improvement throughout 2017?
Thank you. This is Fernando. First of all, I would like to point out that 1 year is is enough experience just for the 2016 accident year. But there is still things to come. But so far, and after the first quarter, the development of the 2016 accident year, is quite neutral. So as far as we know, and according to the information available, we believe that the majority of the 2016 costs related to Baremo were booked in 2016 accounts, and our perspective for 2016 is very positive. As we disclosed, and we took a sample of significant claims, and we monitored the developments of those claims in 2017, the first quarter. And what we saw is negative loss development of between 5-6%, 6% more or less. We considered it to quite reasonable, and it was covered by the increase in IBNR that we did last year. So in summary, the rate increase in 2016 and also the proper appropriation of reserves, both case by case and also IBNR, and also the special Baremo reserve, we can conclude that there are enough in order to cover any potential deviation in the future, which at that point we consider won't be in any case material and significant to from up.
Thank you very much, Fernando. But now this question, I think, was more focus on expense ratio and improvement. So Mr. Inchausti will answer about this improvement.
Okay. I will add some specific information about the expense ratio. We do not consider exceptional the improvement on the on the expense ratio during the first quarter. We are working very hard on the internal and external expenses, and we have a slightly decrease in our internal expenses compared to an increase in our premium income. So we are constantly looking for this ratio have a positive figure, and we are working in many fields, and we do not consider extraordinary the results of the first quarter. So we think that more or less we will have a good expense ratio during the year.
Thank you.
Next
question. You mentioned exceptional weather losses in Iberia. Can you quantify how much of these claims was exceptional versus your normal budget?
Yes, we have mentioned on page 11 of my presentation, we had 57,000 claims for a total of 16 million euros, which only implies 4 points of Iberia General Insurance combined ratio.
Next question is regarding health insurance. Can you explain the worsening combined ratio? Are you carrying out any restructuration in this business?
Okay, the first thing to say is that typically combined ratio in health insurance is higher during the first quarter and then comes down in the next quarter. The second thing is that we have had a slightly increase of claims going from group contracts, and we are working on it, and we have taken some measures in the 2017 renewal, premium renewal. And the third thing I would like to say is we have reorganized our internal expenses based on a more sophisticated model, and this has resulted having the same expenses to share with other branches. That new reorganization have resulted in an increase of internal expenses linked with the health insurance businesses. So, generally speaking, we are not worried about this increase on the figure based on these reasons.
And the last question regarding Iberia is about life results. Can you explain the reversion of the contingency payment in the specific bank assurance agreements?
Yes, unfortunately, we cannot disclose the joint venture, and I will explain later what the reason. And we have in our liability side of the balance sheet different contingent payments regarding bank assurance channels. They're pretty common in the bank assurance channel in Spain. Some of them, they're additional commission that been paid regarding some long-term goals, and another are some earnouts to be paid, and they're coming from some acquisitions. In that case, it's 29 million. It's a reversal of an earnout, but we don't disclose the our partner involved. I'm afraid, and we do not speak about the long-term goals business plan with our partners.
Thank you very much. This next set of questions is with regards to the evolution of business at MAPFRE USA. Nicola de la Palma from Exane BNP Paribas would like to know, can you update on your US strategy? Which areas are you growing and which ones are you exiting? Also, Ivan Bokmat from Barclays asks the following. The combined ratio outside Massachusetts remains very high. How much of that is extraordinary loss experience, and how much is management actions to take market share?
Yeah, thank you. We are growing around 10% in Massachusetts with positive trends in both motor and homeowners, and basically the result is the tariff increases. In motor, quite recent, and in homeowners due to the 2015 snowfall.
Going forward, growth will be focused on motor lines, and there are several states that we consider core. And this topic was very well explained by our chairman at the AGM in March. Those are Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California, and Florida. I'm not sure if I'm missing one, but this is the core of the states. And as we already mentioned before, expansion has a cost, and we have had to pay a new business premium. We've been actively monitoring our business in non-core states, and we'll gradually begin to stop underwriting new business in some of them. And for now, we're stopping, marketing and sales promotions on those states we do not consider to be core business.
Thank you very much. This next set of questions is regarding the evolution of business at Mapfre Assistencia. Nicola de la Palma from Exane BNP Paribas asks, Assistencia had again some unfavorable development. What is driving this? Has growth been too aggressive in recent years?
Yeah, there are some questions regarding assistance. I'll try to elaborate a little bit more about this. And also Michael Hunter already mentioned that last year we expected 2017 to be break-even, more or less. And frankly, we expected a better result in assistance and not that good in Spain as we had. Unfortunately, good things have bad news. They're being compensated in Mapfre, and this is the good thing of having a proper diversification of business. In 2016, we had a bad experience in travel assistance in France, as you remember. We expected more or less a neutral results in the business coming from the UK, but both, a negative development of the runoff of some multi-year policies in the UK, and also the Brexit, different of currency conversions. We sold multi-year policies in sterling pounds, and now we're paying claims in euros and dollar. Both they're deteriorating our loss ratio and combined ratio in Asistencia. It's difficult to forecast what is going to happen. In the rest of the year, we're working hard in order to fix these operations, this operation Asistencia, mainly in the UK. We're trying to reduce losses, but at that point we consider it quite challenging. To break even in assistant business in 2017.
Thank you. The following question refers to Mapfre Global Risks business. Nicola de la Palma from Exane BNP Paribas asks, what is your reinsurance strategy in global risks?
Hi, Nicola. The Mapfre Global Risk Reinsurance strategy is consistent over time. It is the main highlight about that. During the last years, we have maintained yes, exactly the same protection. Mapfre Global Risks, what that's mainly is Mapfre Global Risks protects mainly through non-proportional reinsurance, so net claims are aligned with the financial capacity of this unit. Given the volatility of this business, sometimes certain accumulation exceeds, and is what has happened during the first quarter of this year. This is reflected in the results, but this doesn't entail at all a risk or threat in the short term from this business unit.
Thank you very much. Paz Ojeda at JB Capital Markets and Ivan Bokmat from Barclays ask the following. Global Risks has experienced a very strong performance last year, close to zero contribution this first quarter. What is the reason for this deterioration? What is the normalized combined ratio for the business, and why is it so high right now?
Thank you, Paz. Deterioration in MAPFRE global risk combined ratios due to the increasing large claims, especially in EMEA and Latin South, which are resulting in a higher loss ratio. I will elaborate. I would like to elaborate a little bit longer regarding the Niño phenomenon, because from outside you could expect a larger loss in MAPFRE and a smaller in global risk, and but due to the let's say that it was by chance, but anyway, but the rains affected a power station in Peru that was covered by global risk. So the main effect from the Niño phenomenon is affecting global risk. Also, it was a blast in oil refinery in Abu Dhabi. We both consider it, them as a non as an extraordinary event. And regarding the underlying loss ratio or the combined ratio, currently is well above 100, and we expect to have it at lower than 100. I mean, as we reported from previous year, we keep in the same strictest underlying guidelines on those business, but some of those claims sometimes. Happened, and unfortunately, it was a concentration of claims during the first quarter.
Thank you very much. This next block of questions is concerning the development in Brazil and Mexico. They're sent by Nicola de la Palma from Exane BNP, Andrew Sinclair from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Regarding Brazil, in motor, your combined ratio keeps creeping up. The same is true in Mexico, where you refer to problems in multi-year group policies. What is the outlook?
Well, the outlook for those countries is the following. Brazil, the focus on profitable growth and better economic environment will allow reducing combined ratio. As we already mentioned, we're reducing our fleet. There is like a 9% reduction. I'm not sure, but we have to confirm this figure with Natalia. But there is a reduction of units in both significant relevant in Brazil and Mexico in order to limit our exposure in this market. And regarding Mexico, the company is canceling unprofitable contracts. There were some three multi-year contracts, and I mean it's too early as well to give a proper guidance. But we'll see the effect of this strategy probably at the end of this year. And that's all. Reduction of exposure, increase of tariffs, and cancellation of non-profitable. Portfolios. I mean, that's the same receipt that we have for both countries.
Thank you. Why did the life protection result in Brazil not grow as fast as the top line?
Well, this is due to a high level of claims in first quarter 2017, together with lower amount of financial income. What's that?
Thank you. Can you provide any more detail on the SUSEP-driven rate reductions in Brazil and what we can expect for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I will cover this topic and also with Turkey as well. We've seen some interventions of the governments in the free market and also the transparency of tariffs in Brazil and Turkey. SUSEPA, in case of Brazil, has implemented a 30% reduction in the tariffs for third-party liability across the board. I mean, the different percentage according to the risk and also the regions. But it's important to take into account that this cover has a quite low weight in MAPFRE Brazil portfolio. We had to confirm this number as well, but I don't think the compulsory insurance in Brazil being larger than 15% of the total auto portfolio. Regarding Turkey, and I will cover this topic as well, and has a full disclosure on our management discussion and analysis and subsequent events. Recently was approved by the government, a reduction as well, average 30% across the board. In that case, affecting compulsory insurance. And in that case, our portfolio has a larger portion of the total fleet. And it should be like 60%. I'm not sure, I have to confirm as well. Yeah, Natalie is saying like 60%, more or less. And in that case, what we're doing, we're expecting something like this, and then we're reducing our fleet. And and also increasing tariffs. I mean, it will probably have an impact on the short term, but due to a reduction on fleet and increase of tariffs in other coverage, we believe we could compensate the increase in loss ratio with improvements in combined ratio and other lines of business.
Thank you. Regarding severe claims in industrial risk in Brazil, can you please quantify this against your budget?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Could you repeat it, please?
Of course. Regarding severe claims in industrial risk in Brazil, can you please quantify this against your budget?
Yeah, there has been a relevant impact on severe claims in industrial risk in Brazil, but we haven't included in our public information any quantification on this effect.
Thank you. And the final question regarding Brazil. Does the first quarter's financial income provide a good run rate for the rest of the year?
Well, financial income in Brazil is linked to the evolution of the Selic rate, and so if the inflation is reduced, it's reasonable to expect a further reduction as well in Selic, and this will have an impact on financial income.
Yeah, if I may say something, this evolution is mainly because the investments there are floating and are linked to inflation and interest rates. That's why we are seeing perhaps a slight decrease in the financial income coming from Brazil. So according to the reduction of the Selic, we could be or could continue be affecting of this reduction.
Thank you very much. We have also received several questions regarding the December 2016 Solvency II figures that were released. Regarding capital generation, Andrew Sinclair from Bank of America Merrill Lynch asks the following. Thank you for the new disclosure today. Can you confirm how many points of capital you think that MAPFRE organically generates each year? It isn't clear to me from slide 24 how much is organic generation versus how much is due to market moves. Also, can you please confirm how much of the capital generated is cash? And in the same line, Nicola de la Palma from Exane BNP Paribas would like to know, can you give us your read of the Solvency II movement in quarter one? How much was underlying, how much market movement, and then dividend accrual?
Regarding this three question, on slide 24, and also in the management discussion analysis, there's a full disclosure. You can see the breakdown of the over 800 million euro increase in our solvency margin. As we mentioned during the presentation, a large part of this improvement is due to higher IFRS equity on the back of growth in unrealized gains of the available for sale portfolio, as well as positive currency conversion differences. And the capital generation from outside. And there was also a positive contribution from IFRS retained earnings that we consider it as being organic. We have not provided a disclosure of cash flow generation, and for the time being there is no clear standard criteria under Solvency II for reporting this concept. I mean, my view is regarding Solvency II, it's difficult to see your cash generation, since you have to, to change the part of financial instruments that they're match with or covering technical provisions. So in the end, it's just your free, or let's say your financial instruments linked to equity, and also your cash link with equity as well. But anyway, you need assistance going through the breakdown of these numbers, which are fully disclosed, and as I said in the presentation, and also management discussion analysis. And Natalia and the rest of her team will be available after this call to assist you.
Thank you very much. Farquhar Murray from Autonomous also submitted several questions regarding Solvency II. Could you please explain and ideally decompose the 989 million euro increase in Solvency II capital quarter on quarter between third quarter 2016 and full year 2016? What precisely drove this material increase in the quarter, and how do we tally it to the previously disclosed sensitivities? Why have the Solvency II sensitivities, why do the Solvency II sensitivities look to have changed markedly between full year 2015 and full year 2016? In particular, the sensitivities to interest rates and corporate bond spreads seem to be notably different. What precisely drove that?
Yes, regarding sensitivities, the reduction in the years is due to a smaller duration gap, which has led to smaller deviation between market moves and of assets and liabilities. As we have mentioned before, MAPFRE adheres to very conservative ALM strategies with cash flow matching and duration immunization strategies, applying a large share of a large portfolio, mainly in Spain, which limits sensitivity to changes in rates. And also the change between September and December figures mainly due to movements in the BEL, the best estimate of liabilities, as a result of the application of more conservative criteria for liabilities, to liabilities under IFRS, which reduced the adjustment necessary under Solvency II. Again, if you need any help going through, I mean, these specific numbers, the IR team will be available after the call.
It's important to highlight that regarding the sensitivity to bond spreads, last year the sensitivity to corporate and sovereign were together, and this year we have separated them. That's why you can see a slight difference, but if you compare both presentations, last year's and this one, you could see that the main impact is in the spreads in sovereign sovereign spreads mainly, because the corporate spreads are lower. But if you need any further explanation, we will be available for you later on.
Thank you very much. We've also received one additional question from Michael Huttner. What is the sensitivity to sovereign spreads for Solvency II?
It has been explained by Natalia.
And also, to answer Michael Huttner, on page of the presentation, on page 27, you can see that the difference between the last line, which is corporate and sovereign spreads, and the line before the last one, the corporate spreads, that difference is the sensitivity to sovereign spreads.
That's all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean, thank you for your question. And we about to finish. I would like just to mention was just the last thing. I'm sorry, there are two more questions coming up. Yeah, we'll try to answer. Yes please.
Sorry, they arrived just now. Sorry,
yeah,
Fernando.
We have 10 minutes, yes, for those questions. Yeah.
Sorry about the confusion. Thank you. Michael Huttner from JP Morgan has also asked the following question. At the annual general meeting, you reduced the target ROE from previously 11% on average 2016 to 2018 to now 11% just 2018. Can you say why the change? And given you are still at 9% first quarter 2017, how confident are you of getting to that 11% next year? Where is the improvement to come from?
Yes, thank you, Michael. If I make partially correct you, I mean, the chairman at the AGM didn't change the main strategies for the three-year period, and that the goals are still there. And but he also mentioned that the average 11% ROE was pretty challenging. But he specifically mentioned that that we will achieve 11% ROE on 2018. Let me elaborate a little bit more about this. And we still seeing a quite strong capital base in MAPFRE. We pretty happy, I mean, with this situation. I mean, our capital is pretty good, and also our solvency margin are improving, but somehow it's deteriorating our ROE. We believe that this trend will change when the interest rates will rise, and also perhaps some currency conversion differences. We have to improve our net result. Basically, the delta will be coming from the fixing of those operations, such as assistance, or we have to improve as well our net result in Italy. And we believe that with this improvement in net result, the ROE will improve much more, for sure.
Thank you. Ivan Bokmat from Barclays has the following question. The reinsurance combined ratio remains low despite moderately active cat in the quarter, particularly in LATAM. Were there any reserve releases of note?
No, there is no reserve releases. As I already mentioned, Niño phenomenon affected mainly global risk and in a lesser extent MAPFRE RE. On the other hand, no other cat situation has been reported during the first quarter. And also MAPFRE RE is benefiting from the quota share, the homeowners quota share from the US. And that's all.
Thank you. Michael Bolitor from KBW has sent in a question regarding financial income. If his calculations are right, the pure investment income in P&C, including realized gains and FX, decreased by 30% year on year. What did drive this negative development? The fall in P&C financial income was $23 million, around 12%. This is very much in line with the underlying if you exclude.
Well, first, let's answer there. The pure investment income in P&C is reducing because the low interest in Europe and they're more. The way we are invested, the new cash flow and also maturities. I mean, is in at a lower interest deal. And I didn't catch the other question. Sorry.
The question is, what drove this negative development?
Yeah, I think it's already answered. We have talked about the low interest rate environment, and this is the main reason. Also, the forex movements, but that compensate the other. And as we have mentioned before, in other years, the financial income coming from Brazil was quite notable, and also this slight fall this year is also reflected in our non-life financial income account. But this decrease in the interest rate is also compensated for the good development of currency rates. This is the main reason, Michelle.
And the last question that we have today is from Nicola de la Palma from Exane BNP, and he asks regarding Spanish Life, will you be able to take over the business of BNM following the Bankia-BNM merger?
Yeah, thank you, Nicola. As we already said, we're quite happy with the current relationship with Bankia, and also the bank assurance channel. I mean, it's key for MAPFRE, and we would like to expand our business in this channel. Regarding your question, we will be able to take over the business. The thing is, there is a contact between the two financial entities, and the process is going ahead. And once the process is finished, and we will sit with Bankia in order to see any potential developments of expanding our current agreement with Bankia to outlets coming from the potential future bank merger. But that's all. And I guess there is no any further questions, so we're finishing. And I would like just to point out as a summary and wrap up, we're pretty happy with the results and also the growth in business. As a summary, I mean, Iberia is performing extraordinarily well and allow us to mitigate and to offset some small losses coming from small units, basically assistance, and also some direct operations in EMEA, mainly in Italy. There's just a couple of countries with small losses, Mexico, which the losses are coming mainly from the currency conversions. We have an excess of financial investment nominated in dollar, and due to the increase of the value of the peso, we book the, some difference in exchange. And also small loss in Chile due to the wildfires during the first quarter, but we think we will come back to profits in the rest of the year. So, as a conclusion, we're quite happy, and we're still working on those small units in order to have them fixed as soon as possible. Thank you for your presence, and any further question or additional information you may require, Natalia is ready to answer any question. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Fernando, and thank you, José Manuel, for being with us today. Bye.
My life is here.